Our scripture reading will be 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away.
More than a dozen years ago, I preached on the qualities of love found in 1 Corinthians 13. I'm now ready to do that again, and as this process is underway, I'm restudying the material that was looked at more than 12 years ago. I found that as I went through this first quality this past week, that there was something that I had overlooked the first time I went through it. In fact, there were a few things that I didn't get more than a decade ago. One of the things that I missed several years ago was found in Acts 26, verse 3. If you've also kept your Bible open to that particular passage, let's read that text as well. Paul, to give you a little bit of the background, is appearing before a ruler, that is King Agrippa, and he said that he was happy, he was delighted to go ahead and make a defense before this man, and then in verse 3, especially because thou art an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, Paul said, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Paul said to this ruler, I want you to hear me patiently. Well, patiently, of course, is an adverb. And it is a very special word for a couple of reasons. It is found only here in the New Testament, but this same basic word is found elsewhere in the Bible. In fact, it is used in 1 Corinthians 13 when Paul talks about love. It is his first description of love. Paul said, as Larry read a moment ago, love suffers long. And this is what he was asking Agrippa to give him. Literally, Paul is saying in that 26th chapter of Acts, I want you to suffer long. I want you to be long-suffering. I want you to be patient with me. Well, if a person is going to learn the gospel of Christ, he or she does need to be patient. It would be great if we could teach the gospel to someone in 60 seconds or less. Oftentimes, you find people who like to condense things, but trying to present the gospel in 5 minutes or less is pretty difficult. To condense, to squeeze in conversion, commitment to Christ and the church will probably take the better part of the hour. Thus, in Acts 26, Paul said to this ruler, I need you to bear with me. I need you to be patient as we talk. Then Paul, as we noted, used this same basic word when writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 13. Members of the Corinthian congregation were not very good at being patient one with another. Do we remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 33? As he was talking about the Lord's Supper, he said, tarry one for another. Wait one for another. How come? Because these Christians had problems in this area. Christians were not long-suffering. As we look at this word, we find another significant point. In first century times, this word was not very popular. It was rarely used. But then as time continued to move on, it did become a more popular word at a later time. And that happens with a number of New Testament words. And the reason for that, time and time again, is this. Society did not do a lot of the things that are described by several New Testament words. But as Christians began to live their lives, as people began to see these qualities demonstrated, society finally got to think, well, hey, that is a good thing. And then that became a common, or at least a more common, word in vocabulary by the common people as time progressed. Well, generally speaking, at least in the first century era, people were not very patient. They were not very long-suffering with others. But Christianity finally began to make an impact on people. Others saw this quality, and the idea soon became popular. At times, people sometimes ask, well, what good, what benefit, what value has Christianity brought to the world? One benefit, one value, one good thing is this particular quality that is associated with love. When Paul talks about long-suffering, he uses a word that has been defined as long-tempered. Normally, this word is associated with having patience for others, instead of being patient with a set of circumstances or with something, but it's again and again applied to people. Long-suffering means people work to hold off taking an action against someone, and usually that is a bad action. One source that I consulted this past week says long-suffering may be understood as holding back on something before it breaks into flames. And that's a good definition because it's one that I think most of us can visualize. If you consider starting a fire, There are a couple of ways that that can be done. Sometimes if the wood is dry and you have the right kindling and everything is lined up, you practically could just drop a match in the fire and up it goes. It just roars to life. But then there are other cases where it's very difficult to get a fire going. It may be that the wood is wet. It may be that the wood doesn't burn very well because of its type, its nature, and someone may have to practically resort to a flamethrower to get the wood to light. Well, if we have the quality of long-suffering, if we are people who are long-tempered, then we will be like wet wood. It will be very, very difficult, if you will, to cause us to break out into flames. In today's world, we find plenty of people who are short-tempered. We can, if we were asked to make a list, each one here could call to mind and list people who, at the drop of their hat, literally, figuratively speaking, lose their cool and they explode. We all know people who are like walking powder kegs. We never know what particular event, what set of circumstances will cause them to detonate. But as Paul talks about love in 1 Corinthians 13, he says to the people of God, this is a quality that you want to have. You want to be slow to blow up. God also said this is not the kind of example that he wants from his people. God teaches us that those who act in this particular way do not demonstrate true love. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4, long-suffering is a verb. Now, I noted earlier that it's used as an adverb in Acts 26, 3. And when we think about verbs, we, of course, have action. That's what verbs are helping us understand. And they also help us understand something about time. Action may be in the past. Action may be in the present. Or it's also possible for action to be in the future. Well, when Paul said love suffers long, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, there is a tense associated with that verb, and it is in the present tense. That is ongoing action. It is a continuous way that we need to live. A person may look at their life and say at the end of the day, I did not blow up today. Well, that's a good thing. I was long-tempered all afternoon. I had to deal with 10 very difficult people today, and I was patient. I was long-suffering with each one of those individuals. And because I was successful today, I feel like I can really unload on the folks at the office tomorrow. They're people who act in that way. But you know, that is not what Paul has in mind when he penned this particular verb. By using the present tense, he means that we are under this obligation every single day. Every day we go through life, the standard that we want to reach for and strive for is long-tempered. For an example of that, we can turn to God. In addition to being used as a verb and an adverb, long-suffering is sometimes used as a noun. Its noun form is found in places like 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. And if we're a Christian, we probably know what that verse says. Peter talks about the long-suffering God had in the days or in the time of Noah. We remember back in the early chapters of Genesis how the earth had become wicked. People were involved with all kinds of sin. The planet had become so bad that God basically wiped it clean. As hateful and as hostile to people were in the first century, God was long-tempered. He patiently waited and then waited some more. Now we're in a different dispensation of time. And the Bible says that God is still long-suffering. But why does God wait? Sometimes people look at the world and they see sin over here and they see sin over there. Sin is on every hand. Why doesn't God punish people? Well, the Bible says that God is long-tempered. 1 Peter chapter 3, he was that way back when. He's that way still today, and he wants people to be long-tempered today. We will never be as perfect with long-suffering as God is. We're going to have some failures in this regard. But we can bear in mind Peter's divine example. Day after day as we live our lives, we can seek to be long-suffering. A passage that will help us in this regard is found in Matthew chapter 18, verse 26. And I'm going to be reading some of the verses from this chapter. You may remember that as Matthew 18 begins, the Lord presents some information about forgiveness. In fact, he and Peter are having a discussion about this particular subject. Peter asked about forgiveness. Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? And Jesus answered with that famous reply, 70 times 7. Then, as we get to Matthew 18, verses 23 through 27, we find Jesus launching into a parable about two servants. And we want to read about the first one, starting with verse 23 of Matthew chapter 18. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king who had made a reckoning with his servants. And then in verse 24, when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents, and that was a lot of money. But for as much as he had not wherewith to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. In verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And then in 27, and the Lord of that servant, being moved with compassion, released him and forgave him of the debt. In verse 26, this man who owed more money than he could possibly pay, than all of his friends could pay, had they worked every single day of their lifetime, the man said, "Have patience with me." That is, be long-suffering. Well, this is precisely the same word that we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, where Paul said, love is long-suffering. Well, this man made his case, and the king forgave him of the debt, even though he was hopelessly in debt. There was no way, if he'd lived 100 lifetimes, that he could have paid this amount. Well, now, this man was forgiven of his debt, and he knew somebody who owed him a very small amount of money, the tiniest amount of money, and he meets up with this man, verse 28, and then reading through verse 30. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 shillings, and he laid hold on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay what thou owest." So his fellow servant fell down and besought him, and here's a word. He said, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay what was due. A servant asked for long-suffering, be patient, and he got that. Then he goes out and finds a fellow servant, man who owes money, but not nearly as much as he owed. And the second man says to the fellow who had just experienced long-suffering, grace and forgiveness, all those great things, be patient with me. Be long-suffering. Do not insist on this particular thing right now. I'll pay. Well, the man was not willing to do that. The Bible says that he assaulted the first man, he assaulted that servant, and then he threw him into debtor's prison. God realizes that human beings can be very, very fickle creatures. You know, we want people to be patient with us. That's true for every single one of us. We want long-suffering if we are the offending party. Consider these examples. If we say the wrong thing, it's be patient with me, I'll say the right thing next time. If we fail to do the wrong thing, we beg for forgiveness. We'll get it right the next time. If we make a wrong choice, we make this same type of plea. Be patient, be long-suffering with me. I will do better. But what happens when someone comes to us and they ask of us that very same thing? Be long-suffering with me. Is our reply tough luck? No way. I'm not going to offer you, I'm not going to extend that courtesy to you. Is it the attitude you had your chance and you blew it? If so, we're hypocrites because we have two standards. The one standard says we want people to be long-suffering when they deal with us. But as we deal with others, we're not going to be long-suffering. You get it right the first time or that's it. When we feel like we want to boil over with wrath or rage, the Bible teaches us to be long-suffering, to be patient. You may not be surprised, and if you have your outline, you'll see this on the sheet as well, you may not be surprised to see that long-suffering is also used in Galatians 5:22. It's not the verb form, it's the noun form, but it is there. It is that same basic word, and Paul uses it to describe the fruit of the Spirit. As I was looking at some of the sources that I had for this particular word, some of the things I'd not looked at previously, I found a great definition. One definition is that long-suffering is an active process that causes us to meet a neighbor or another person halfway. Now that does not mean that we give in to every whim that a person has. Neither does it mean that we accept a bad situation forever and ever. Paul was certainly not willing to let things continue at Corinth indefinitely. He was, however, long-suffering with these Christians. He met them halfway. This particular definition that's being cited can be used to make this point. Long-suffering is not a character trait. But the Bible teaches that it is a way of life. Now, one might argue that a character trait and a way of life are sometimes the same thing. Sometimes they're synonymous. And in certain cases, that perhaps is true. But the definition being used is trying to convey the idea that long-suffering becomes a part of who we are. We integrate that. We make that a part of our very being. It becomes standard operating procedure in and for our lives. We literally do our best to meet people halfway. There will be plenty of times when people do their very best to push our buttons. I'm not sure where that push the button expression came from, but I think it's a pretty good expression. It reminds me of a time we were in a different house, had a neighbor who had some problems with their next door neighbor. The lady who was close by to us said, "Well, that neighbor next to me really knows how to push my buttons." And by that expression, she meant that that neighbor knew how to irritate her and frustrate her. As that neighbor had, figuratively speaking, her buttons pushed, there were times when she lost her cool. She was not very long-suffering at times, and that caused some problems for her and for that neighbor. Long-suffering is not always the easiest choice. Sometimes that's the most difficult choice. But God knows that it is the best choice, the right choice, and hence put that in 1 Corinthians 13. Long-suffering means we work to keep control no matter what the circumstances are. In many cases, we're going to find some circumstances that are not fair, they're not right, and they're certainly not favorable. But when we know what this word describes, we can see why it begins the list that Paul has in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as he talks about love. This quality and all the other chapters about love in 1 Corinthians 13 are really more than words. They are a call to action. And when God's people are long-suffering, when they're like wet wood, when they're long-tempered, they will shine like the sun. Each of the descriptions of love provides us with an important key to living the Christian life. They really open up a very unique door to a very special study. God first wants people to become one of his children by the simple process that is given in his word, and that is faith. It's repentance. It's being willing to leave the way that's wrong and embrace the way that's right, to confess, to acknowledge that Christ is the Son of God, and then finally to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Once we take those steps, once we become a Christian, then the Bible wants us to begin practicing the qualities like long-suffering in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. If we're a Christian, how well have we done with the quality of long-suffering? Are we a person who is literally long-tempered? Are we on the short end of the fuse? If we've not yet become a Christian, then this may be one of the things that we struggle with, perhaps on a daily basis. God has a solution for that. And the solution is conversion, as we mentioned a moment ago. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism. Forgiveness of all past sins, starting off on a way, a course that's brand new. It's possible. And God invites each one to take that path. If we've not yet become a Christian, or if we have and we need help writing our Christian life in some way, and you'd like the assistance of those who are here, would you let us know as we stand and sing the selected song?